From NPR News, I'm Tony Cox. On today's program, we'll talk to Gwendolyn Moore, the first African-American representative elected to Congress from the state of Wisconsin. Also, reporter Allison Keyes explores the push and pull between old-school civil rights leaders and hip-hop activists, plus a fascinating profile of the indelible jazz man Lester Young. That's a little later. But first, lightening the burden of soldiers returning from Iraq. It's mind-numbing to consider the tragic statistics of war. A number of research groups report that since the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq in March 2003, at least 10,000 Iraqi civilians have been killed, though the British medical journal Lancet recently suggested the total may be 10 times that many. Of American soldiers, the Department of Defense says more than 1,300 have died, and another 5,000 were wounded so gravely they could not return to service. We hear less, however, about the problems soldiers often encounter after they leave the war zone and return home. According to the Landstuhl Regional Medical Center in Germany, which serves as a stopping-off point for wounded troops, about 1 in 10 soldiers who are hospitalized suffers psychiatric or behavioral health issues. They return to the U.S. bringing a host of post-traumatic injuries with them that more and more clinicians are having to grapple with. For more on this, we go now to Dr. Carl Bell, professor of psychiatry and public health at the University of Illinois at Chicago, where he joins us by phone. Dr. Bell also is the president and CEO of the Community Mental Health Council and Foundation there in the Windy City, and author of the book, The Sanity of Survival, Reflections on Community Mental Health. Dr. Bell, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
In terms of psychological problems, what, if anything, is different about this war experience for American servicemen and women?
Well, I think it's going to be a little bit easier for these troops to come home instead, as compared to the Vietnam War, because right now everybody's very patriotic, so that's a good thing. One of the not-so-good things, though, is frequently soldiers coming back from war have issues with having committed murder, with depression, with substance abuse, and the like. So on the one hand, the patriotism that they'll feel when they come back will be welcoming, but then you've got other issues around trauma. And then, as I understand it, the Veterans Administration has been having some problems because the economy is bad. So it's going to be a little bit tricky.
What about the treatment of people coming back with these various disorders? Is that any different? Is it better now than it was in previous conflicts?
Well, it's a little bit better. We've got newer medications for post-traumatic stress disorder. We understand it a little better. One of the problems, though, in terms of the research on post-traumatic stress disorder, is that when they were doing randomized controlled trials to see which medications worked best, what they did was they excluded everybody that was suicidal. They excluded everybody who was violent. They excluded everybody that was using substances. Because, you know, you didn't want to have somebody in the trial that was suicidal because that might have been a bad outcome. But as a result of not including those people in those drug trials, we don't know if those medications work in an efficacious manner for those people who have those additional problems or not. So that's going to be a little tricky.
Is race or culture a factor in any of this? And if so, to what extent in terms of the service?
It's a huge factor because if it's an African-American coming in, you want the person to feel welcome. Problem is there are only about 1,000 or so black psychiatrists, and they're not that many. So all of the soldiers that are African-American are going to be treated by somebody probably outside of the ethnic group. And they may not be as culturally welcoming, and that could be a problem.
Dr. Carl Bell is professor of psychiatry and public health at the University of Illinois at Chicago, and he is the president and CEO of the Community Mental Health Council and Foundation in Chicago as well. Dr. Bell, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Psychiatric problems, of course, are only part of the challenges faced by soldiers returning from Iraq. They also encounter economic and related dilemmas, as we hear from Richard Keynes, veteran program manager of the Weingart Center in downtown Los Angeles. He joins me here in studio at NPR West. Richard, nice to have you with us.
Good morning, Tony. Thank you.
And on the line is retired Navy Captain Lori Manning, Director of Women in the Military Project at the Women's Research and Education Institute in Washington, D.C. Captain Manning, nice to have you with us as well.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Captain, let's start here. What would you say is the number one problem soldiers have faced after returning home from the war in Iraq?
Well, of course, it depends very much on the soldier, but I think it's got to be shocking to go from the war zone back here to this country where most of us are carrying on as though nothing is going on over in Iraq. Just the sheer difference between there and here is terrible to adjust to.
Richard, let me bring you in because you're an expert in an area dealing with problems that veterans have. Now, historically, joblessness and homelessness have been major issues for returning veterans. Perhaps it is too early to assess how this figures in with those veterans coming from the Iraqi war, or is it too early?
Excellent point, Tony. Many of the veterans that are going to be returning from the Iraqi war are going to face some of the same challenges and barriers that Vietnam vets have faced when they came back. You have a highly politicized war. You have diminishing services across the board. You have an economy that's been negatively impacted. And then on top of it, you have the psychological traumas, which historically soldiers don't gravitate toward psychological help. It's something that when you go through basic training, you're taught to be harder than you've ever been in your life and to admit your vulnerabilities to a stranger, to come back to a country that looks very much different than the one that you left, is a very difficult process in itself. So just getting people to access those support mechanisms will be difficult.
Let me ask you, Captain Manning, whether it is more difficult to come, we've already discussed some of the behavioral problems, you heard Dr. Bell, but when you come back to the States or when you get out of the service, is the economic issue the primary one? And if so, to what extent does, for example, you know, trying to pay delinquent bills escalate into more trouble for these veterans?
Well, of course, a lot of these men and women have run into difficulties while they were overseas. The spouses leave them, their job is downsized, or the company they worked for is bought up, and they come back to no job at all, and often in a community where there are very few other people in the military, and certainly economics is one of a number of issues they have to face.
Captain Manning, would you say that it is worse, for example, for women versus men, or worse for African Americans versus other ethnic groups dealing with these issues once they are discharged?
I think very much it's up to the individual. I think it's probably harder for people who were in the reserves than the active duty component. And certainly right now, at least, women veterans have a slightly higher employment rate than all other veteran categories, which is a first. So it's less of a problem than it may have been in other times, but it's still a problem, particularly if they're in a depressed area of the country.
We just heard Dr. Bell, Richard, say that in terms of treating some of the psychological problems that returning veterans have, that there are newer medications that help. He also said that we know more about the circumstances, so we are better prepared to treat them. My question to you is, are there new provisions being implemented to help servicemen and women who struggle financially and otherwise when they get back?
I think that we're lagging behind in that area. I think that there are new medications that are out. That's good because many veterans have had negative side effects, and they've experienced that with previous psychotropic medications, which keep them from using them. And once they go off of their meds, they decompensate, trying to maintain employment, trying to maintain any element of stability goes out the window. So I think that the medication, we've advanced on that forefront. I think, however, affordable housing and also transitional housing that will not have as many criteria that needs to be met for service person to access that system is important. For example, the Veterans Affairs Homeless Health System provides only 3 episodes of care for a veteran over the veteran's lifetime. When we're talking about that, we're talking about paid transitional housing. Many veterans in the downtown area have exceeded their 3 episodes of care already, which means that they would not qualify for the housing components that are currently accessible for veterans.
It might be helpful, Captain, if you would explain to us exactly what does a veteran receive upon discharge, financially speaking?
It all depends on whether or not they have service-connected disabilities, that either war wounds or illnesses that are tied to their military service. Certainly most of them these days, although not all of them, are eligible for GI Bill and for certain GI mortgages and that sort of thing. As to health care, some are eligible for nothing at all. unless they want to buy into the system, and others get everything for free for the rest of their lives. It very much depends on the circumstances.
You know, World War II veterans like my own father, for example, were able to get an education, buy a house based on what they earned and the benefits that they had going to war. That is not the case anymore. Is that right, Captain Manning, or is it?
Oh, it is, but probably not as my father also benefited from that. But not, for instance, if you went through the Naval Academy, you're not eligible for GI Bill in the way that you used to be. And you have to buy into the GI Bill. You have to pay money out of pocket to be eligible for it in the final when you get out. But it's a heck of a lot better than it was several years ago. There have been good changes, and you really can get an education with it, but not everybody is automatically eligible for it.
I'm going to put you just a little bit on the spot, Richard. I've only got about 30 seconds, which is kind of unfair to ask you to answer this, but is there a solution?
I think that there's going to be a progression toward a better outcome for veterans as long as all of the concerned parties can get together in a collaborative effort and work together and not against each other. Advocates and financial institutions, public and private sector, must join together to address this issue that many people are not even aware exists.
Richard Keynes is manager of the Veterans Program at the Weingart Center here in Los Angeles, and retired Navy Captain Lori Manning is director of Women in the Military Project at the Women's Research and Education Institute in Washington. Thank you both for being with us today.
Thank you.